that's each and every one. Shake hands with everybody beside you. Say the Lord bless you. And it's good to see our sister Carla. Our brother David back with us again. The Lord bless you. And I just thank the Lord for the Lord Jesus Christ and for each other. God is good. Amen. Praise God. I want to ask everyone to do something this week. And I really feel strong to ask you this. And you don't have to tell nobody you're doing this. If you're a couple, you can do it together, or you can do it by yourself. Pick a day and do it. Doesn't matter what day you do it. And that is, I want everyone that can, that's able, to take one day this week to fast for Brother Keith. And I want us as a fellowship to come into agreement. You don't have to tell me what day you're doing, and I'm not telling you, but just be yourself this week if you can pick a day, any day, and I want you really to take that day fast and seek the Lord for Brother Keith, that God would really touch him. I believe God has touched him, and we want to see him completely recovered and completely made whole. And I believe that the Bible says if we fast and pray, what we'll hear from heaven. And sometimes when things don't move the way they should, one of the best things to do is fast and pray about it. And I'm asking as a pastor here that each one of us will take a day this week. It can be any day at all. And those that's willing to do it, I hope everybody will do it. But you don't have to tell nobody about it. It's not a show. It's between you and God. But come into a fast and really specifically pray for Brother Keith that God will completely deliver him and raise him to full health and strength. Now what I'm going to preach this morning has already been confirmed in the meeting. And I want to talk a lot today about listening with two ears, not one ear. And God wants us to incline our ear to His Word. Amen. And that means paying complete attention to what God's saying. Many times we come in a service and we're playing a game at home in our minds, or we're away somewhere else. That's no good. God wants our attention for whatever time we're here. He wants our reverence, our respect to the house of God. And the church of God's not a building. It's where two or three gathered in the name of the Lord. The Lord is in the midst. And we need to be paying attention. And you young ones have played different games. You can't play them games unless you're really into it. And if you want to get it, you have to be totally into it. And I want you to be totally into it here this morning. I want you to listen completely. And I want to talk about God's medicine bottle.
Glory.
I want us to turn to Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 20 to 22. And anybody that has an amplified Bible, if you read these scriptures from it, it really makes it very clear. It's here, clear here as well, but... Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20 to 22. My son, attend to my words, not somebody else's. So when the voice in your head talks to you, contrary to this word, you forget about it.
Amen.
And I'll guarantee you it'll do it.
That's right.
I told you the other week, the devil will preach a sermon with a half-truth. And there's no lies, dangers of a half-truth. It's the worst one. My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. The Amplified says, and healing and health till all their flesh.
Amen.
Let us bow our heads, praise God. Heavenly Father, we just thank you and praise you for your word. For your word is a lamp under our feet and a light unto our path. Father, we've come this morning to lift the name of Jesus Christ, the name that's above every other name. We worship you and we praise you. And we magnify your lovely name, Lord Jesus. We ask that you will be the center of our thoughts.
Hallelujah.
The center of our thinking, our hearts, on this service this morning. We ask the Holy Spirit to come and move in our midst, in every heart and in every life. We pray that you'll have the preeminence amongst us. We ask that you'll bless those that need your touch. Even as our brothers prayed, we say amen.
Glory.
And Lord, I take the promised Holy Spirit to help me. And I thank you, Lord, you undertake for me in Jesus' precious name. Bless your brother Keith. Give him strength. Grant him your grace. From the crown of his head to the soles of his feet. May the power of your word manifest upon our brother in a very wonderful way. In Jesus' precious name. Bless your sister Riley as well. Give her strength. Grant her grace. In the name of Jesus we pray. Father, we ask for those that's backslidden, that's laid aside this morning because of the enemy. Lord, we pray for them that you will speak to them again, woo them again, and bring them again, we pray. In the name of Jesus Christ. Encourage and strengthen your people now with your word. Lord, clear our ears with the power of your Spirit and word. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. The alternative translation for the word health is medicine. So when the Bible talks about health, it means medicine. Medicine's good when you need it, isn't it? There's nothing like a good medicine. Amen. And I'll tell you, God's word is the best medicine.
Amen.
You're ever going to get. God's medicine bottle is right here this morning.
Right.
And it is the word of God. There is a pill for every end.
Right.
The word of Almighty God. And I tell you the thing about this medicine, there's lots of medicines can affect you later down the road. Because there's side effects to all these different tablets. There's a man I know well, a very fit man. I won't mention his name, people would know him. And he trains and everything, but he's a diabetic. And they tell you there's no cure for diabetic. Well, that's a lie to start with. Because there is people who can go on diets and they don't need pills for it. So that's an absolute lie. When somebody tells you there's no cure for someone, that's a lie they've told you.
Right.
There's a cure for everything. Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Right.
But this man went on these tablets. Because he went on these tablets, he now needs a triple heart bypass. Because the diabetics, it does something to the valves that go down into the heart. It clogs them. And did you know, a fellow was telling me this week, he was on medication and he said they changed it and almost killed him. And he said they gave him the same tablets, but they were coated. The tablets had a certain coat on them, and the coat on these tablets can block the tubes, your vessels can into your body. And they admitted that to him. Now, I'm not a doctor or anything about it, but I'm just telling you what he said, and he changed it, and the next day he felt better straight away, just for changing his tablets, because he didn't have this coating on them. The wrong coating blocks up the arteries. And you know when a person gets a stent, you know why they get a stent? Because where the blood goes through, it clogs in. It closes in, and the blood can't get through right, and a stent opens it up and lets the blood flow through. And that's like the Holy Spirit in the church.
Glory.
When you close it in and stifle it up, it can't flow through the body. And parts of the body die. God wants the body to be fully functional.
Amen.
And he wants the Spirit to flow through the whole body.
Amen.
Praise God. But God's medicine bottle. Notice the phrase, health to all their flesh. They understand that all their flesh means the total physical body. So when you read this, health to all your flesh, it means your total physical whole body. If I have health in my whole body, then I have no room for any sickness. That is what God's promising me. God's offer is being made to me and you through his word.
Yeah.
Now people say, I've read the word, I've heard the word. It's no fact. That proves you never heard it, because you've just questioned it. God does not want you to question His word. You can question doctrines that men make, but don't question God's word.
Amen.
God's word does not need challenged or questioned. Amen. It's an absolute.
Amen.
It's authority.
Amen.
It does not need challenged or questioned. It is the truth. Jesus says, ye shall know the truth.
Glory.
And the truth shall make you free. And him who the Son sets free.
Amen.
Is free indeed. No longer to be entangled again with the yoke of bondage.
Amen.
So God wants us to hear his word. Attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my saying. Listen to what God's saying. Don't be sitting with one ear listening and one ear away somewhere else. What happens is, when you preach, some people take one phase of it and they leave the rest of it. You need to hear what God is saying through the service, through the message, through the word of God. What is God saying to you? And if the devil can pick a wee nagging to fit out and give it to you, you should know it's him by now. You should know him. You shouldn't need a red flag to warn you. He's the one that wants to bring you down. Verse 22, for them, that's God's word. Verse 22 of Proverbs 4. And God signs a life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh.
Yeah.
So somehow life and health are in the words and signs of God. Are you hearing me now? Life and health are in the words and signs of God. Do you know that's why it's so good to read the word of God?
Amen.
Somebody says he just read for him and he just prayed just. You see, that's a negative statement.
Right.
To read the word of God, God has promised he'll watch over his word. God, no word of God is void of power. All God's words and all God's sayings are powerful. And if we say them in faith, something can happen when we say them. Jesus said, my words are spirit. And they are life to those that find them. So there's a finding them. And thank God when you find the word of God. Notice the phrase, those that find them, we need to read the Bible and receive what God was offering. When a doctor gives a medicine, directions for taking it, they're on the bottle. So let's read God's instructions on God's medicine bottle. And you heard me tell the story before about the wee fella in Africa, and he was very ill, and his parents took him to the doctor, and they didn't want him to, the doctor gave him a little bottle of medicine, and he got a rope and he tied the bottle around his neck. Abdullah was his name, so that he wouldn't have lost the bottle. It's a true story. Wigglesworth, or F.F. Bosworth was the man where the story originated from. But the parents, after some days, said the medicine's not working. And when the man of God went to see them, or whoever visited them, and he looked at the medicine on his neck, and he said, did you go to the doctor? He said, yes. And the medicine bottle was tied around his neck, and it was as full as the day he got it as what, 2 or 3 days later. He'd never used any of it. He failed to read the instructions, and his parents failed to read the instructions on the bottle. He had the bottle tied around his neck. It was with him the whole time, but no use, because he never applied it. But when he read it, 3 spoonfuls a day is what you have to take. And when he began to take 3 spoonfuls a day, he soon recovered. And our Bible says we are to pray without ceasing. And our Bible says that we're to have God's words on our hearts. And we're not to think on vain things, but we're to cast down vain imagination and reasoning. We're not to give reasoning place. God wants us to cast down reasoning and vain imaginations. What's vain imagination? Nonsense! You don't need me to explain to you what that is. You all know what it is. Rubbish that comes into your head. Cast it down.
Glory.
I preached on Wednesday night the key to resisting the devil. And what was the key you're assisting the devil, submit to God.
Amen.
When you submit to God, that's how you assist the devil. Because the Word of God says, submit to God, resist the devil. But you can't resist the devil if you're not submitted to God. That's why people backslide. I'm having a hard time. They're not submitted to God. They actually are less submitted to God than what they should be. And they backslide. They miss church, they quit reading, they quit praying, they backslide. But they're submitted to playing a game. They're submitted to some other worldly thing, but not to God. Well, you won't overcome the devil then. And you can't blame God. Because you haven't done what the Word of God said. When we do what God says, God will keep up his end of the bargain. He never fails. Let me read you this here from God have a provided way. When you notice a little baby, if he's sick, or no matter how sick he is, his mother knows this, no matter how sick the little one is, as long as he's nursing, he's satisfied. When you fix his little milk up, his little bottle, and you fix a little bit of milk and put in the vitamins in it, how lovely, you know, maybe we're all God's baby bottles, bottle babies, maybe we'd say, and God had just provided two bottles, that's the new and the Old Testament. And he's just dropped vitamins all in them, and while we get a hold of him, go to nursing, and we're not only satisfied, but we're being healed all at the same time. We got spiritual vitamins, just keeps building us up, making us stronger, stronger. It's good, it's calcium for the bones, and vitamin B complex for the nerves, and it's got everything in it. God's whole medicine cabinet was dropped into it. It was all in a bottle, put in a bottle, and he opened it at Calvary. So through Calvary, we can nourish back any redeemed blessing that Jesus died for. Through Calvary. Just like people saying, there's been programs and all, and they say there's nothing to taking vitamins. Well, I don't believe that. You might believe that, but I don't. When somebody tells me there's absolutely no evidence that taking vitamins help you, I would say, well, you're a liar. But I could disprove that easily. Because you know, take out the pills. I'm not talking about the ones you buy on the shelf. But when you eat vegetables and your potatoes and all the different things that's here for eat, there's vitamins in them all. There's iron in them. Did you know, I was reading the other week, that there's things in nettles would help you as you get older. Especially for men. There's things in nettles. I told the boy the other day, he was taking certain tablets to do something for him. And I said, do you know you can get that in nettles? He says, I never knew it. I said, go and look it up. It's in nettles. So God's given all. Now man's perverted it, we know that, but God's still given. It's all there. And you know, our new brothers at farm, you know when a baby calf or a wee piglet or any animal's born, that the mother's milk special at that time. There's calcium in it. What's the name for it, brother?
Colostrum.
Colostrum in the milk. And you know, how many's ever heard of the All Blacks? The famous rugby players. Did you know they take colostrum? How many knew that? Well, you can go and search it, they do when they train. Because they've proved it helps you build up quicker. And that wee baby, they say them first few drinks is the most important drinks of the mother's milk, because there's special stuff in the milk when the baby's just born. And God has special stuff in this word here. That we need on. Somebody says we're strong meat, we don't need milk. Well, the Bible says, talks about the sincere milk of the Word. And don't go on to chew on the meat till you get to half the milk first. You see, that's what went wrong. There's people throwing people lumps of steak and they're still on the bottle. They're choking on it. Didn't William Branham say, how can you learn your algebra if you can't even learn your ABCs? It's not what he said. But everything's in this Word of God. Always paid for it. Redeemed blessings aside his feet, his hands, his head, and through the bleeding forth of his life, we nourish back to life again. All that we lost in the fall back yonder, God has provided a way for us. God has a provided way of escape. What's God's provided way? Jesus Christ. Amen. You should be fit to answer that straight off. God's provided way is not some organization. God's provided way is not some church. God has only one provided way. That's Christ. That's God's provided way. There's no other way to come. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one cometh unto the Father but by me. This is the stone which was set at naught of the builders, but now has become the head of the corner. Needing a razor salvation in any other name. For there's no other name given under heaven whereby man must be saved other than the name of Jesus Christ. So when somebody tells us some other way, it's God provided way, we know they're not working with the vitamins. No vitamins in it. It's one of those bottles where it's lots of names on it, but it's fake. It's not the real bottle full of vitamins. But we're working with God's true vitamins pack. God's true medicine bottle. Calvary.
Amen.
All paid for the cross. Now let's see this. God's word has a medicine for the physical body. These are his instructions, and there's four of them here. You can write them down. Number one, attend to my words. So God wants you to listen to him. Number one, attend to my words. So if you go to work for somebody, and my dad did it most years ago, he tells a story about the farm, or Arn was at the farm, and my dad went and sent him up the field for someone, and before Arn got the instructions, he was halfway up the field. And my dad called him and he said, Arn, what are you getting up the field for? He says, I don't know. He says, no, because you never waited, I told you. If you come back, I'll give you the instructions. Amen. See, God does not need us to run in front of him. We have to follow him.
Right.
He's the shepherd, we're the sheep.
Amen.
Right. Sheep do not lead the shepherd leads the sheep. And the shepherd won't send someone else to do it, because the Bible says a hireling they won't hear, but they'll hear his voice. Maybe you've ever seen that wee clip where the people stop at the fence, and you fellas that keep cattle and farm know even with cattle you can do it. Stand at the fence and these different ones call the sheep when they're eating away at the grass. Makes no difference to them. But when the shepherd that owns them comes and he calls, then they come. They know his voice. They know his voice. My sheep hear my voice, and they will follow me. A stranger,
amen,
they won't follow. So God wants us to tend his ear. Number two, incline your ear unto my sayings. Incline means to bend down. This speaks to us of humility. That we are to kneel before God. It's good to pray, but it's always good to kneel and pray. It's an act of reverence. It's an act. You know, the people are bowing to images. Why don't we bow before Jesus?
Right.
We're to bow before the Lord in prayer. In secret now. Not in front of somebody for a show, but you do it. You can do it in secret. And you know some of the old churches, some of these brothers know well that they used to have prayer meetings and they used to have wee kneeling pads, because they'd pray all night and they'd kneel in front of the church and pray through all night. I hear so much nonsense today. People say to me, why is God not doing this and why is God not doing that? Because people's not praying like they used to. And then someone will preach a sermon, you're not able to pray no more. Well, you're able to talk. You're still able to talk, aren't you? See, all this, you're not able to pray no more in this type of talk. I don't believe any of that. You're able to pray.
Amen.
Now, I know God can lead you to pray, but even when you don't feel like praying, you should make a point of praying. What would happen if you didn't make a point of eating? You'd starve. So God wants us to incline our ear. Number three, let them not depart from thine eyes. So in other words, God wants you to keep his word
sorts of stuff we see that we don't want to see and we shouldn't see, but this word's what we need to see.
Amen.
Keep the word of God before us.
Number four, keep them in the midst of your heart. Believe them with all your heart. Hold on to your heart. Doesn't the Bible say of Mary, when the angel told her these things, she said she kept it in her heart? She believed it.
So here's the first thing. Attend to my words. We need to understand that when God speaks to us, He requires our undivided attention. We need to listen to God with our full and respectful attention. God wants us to listen to Him.
God can't talk to you if you're not listening. And if you don't give God time to talk to you, He can't talk to you. That's why there's a scripture in the Bible that says, wait on the Lord. Now that scripture there is not talking about praying or reading, it's talking about waiting on the Lord. Waiting on the Lord. Now we're living in a time for that's difficult because people have no time. They're too busy with their lives, work, 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 and all these different things. People are so busy, they've no time for God, and there's definitely no time to wait on God.
A fellow said to me the other day something about getting up early. I detest people that lie in bed all day. I don't like that.
That's a bad habit. Now, different. I'm not talking about people that work nights. I'm not talking about that. That's a totally different thing. You know what I'm talking about. People that lay about and don't work, they should starve. No, the Bible says that. The Bible says what we're to work. And by the sweat of a brow, that's the Bible. And the Bible says we're to rise up early, and it's foolish to sit up late. If you sit up to 2 o'clock in the morning, you're not getting up at 6.
Right.
Try it for a while. And when you burn the candle at 2 ends, it'll soon meet them when the candle's gone. But a fellow said to me, would you do this and do that? I said, for goodness sake. I says, Ian Paisley told him, fellow with him one time. He says, I do more in the morning before I eat my cornflakes than you'll do all day. And he was right. He was right. Somebody says, I've no need to get up too early. Well, you've no need to lie all day either. When people lie in bed and can't come to church, I tell you, that's a sin. Especially to say they're saved. That's a sin. We are to rise up early and seek God.
Amen.
Daniel prayed 3 times a day. Daniel rose early and he sought the Lord. My brother John said a tremendous thing years ago. I hope he doesn't mind me saying it. But there's a fellow preaching somewhere we were. And he told everybody God woke him every night. And John says to me, I don't believe a word of it. I don't know if he remembers or not, something like that. But what he was saying was, why would God waken him when God says He gives His beloved sleep? God doesn't need awakening. You can rise early and seek God. Now, perhaps God could waken you, but get the point what I'm saying. God gives His beloved sleep. God will not rise you all night so that you can't get up in the morning. That's not scriptural. Now, it's quiet in here, but I'm not worried about that.
Amen.
Not worried one bit about it, because that's the truth. I was up all night and I couldn't get up the next morning. Well, that was the devil. Wasn't God. Now I'm not saying God could put on you to pray and you could get up and pray and go back to bed. I believe all that. But you know, when I read about men of God that God used that prayed like that, they weren't tired. Because God supernaturally done it. He didn't do it and then they weren't fit to go to work and weren't fit to do this and that because they're so exhausted. That wouldn't have been God. When God does it, there's an anointing comes with it. And you hear people saying, I'm tired, I'm tired, I'm tired. They're always tired. Something's wrong then. Because the Bible says that God's word should refresh us.
Amen.
And renew us. Not make us tired.
Amen. So incline to them, tend to them. We all at times suffer from the disease that could be called divided attention.
God wants our undivided attention, but we all suffer with divided attention. We're in church, but we're not really in church, we're somewhere else. And we're worried about this, and we're worried about that, and the devil can do that, all of us. He can stress you out over finance, he can stress you out over your mortgage bill, or your car bill, or any bill you want. The devil can do that. That's this rat race. What about it? What if they took a whole lot in the morning? What about it? What will it matter? If the Lord comes for you tonight, you'll not be worrying one thing about it. You'll be gone. But you see, the enemy wants our attention on the wrong things. If you serve God, God's promised to look after you.
Amen.
Yes, you might have trials, you might have tribulation, but you've always the Lord. And He'll never forsake you. That's His word.
Amen.
I tell you, the devil preaches you. You're preaching healing and this and that. He can give you a list. This didn't happen, someone else didn't happen, someone else did happen. But see, when you go back and you start to think, what did happen?
I'll tell you, it's like the song the old brother sang, Count Your Blessings.
Amen.
Name them one by one and it will surprise you.
Amen.
What God's done.
Amen.
So God wants our undivided attention.
It's like when children are supposed to do their homework. If a child's supposed to do his homework and they're trying to watch television or play on a computer and do their homework, they won't do their homework. Oh no. No, won't work. Just won't work.
They need everything off and do the homework.
Sex, same when you go to bed. If you go to bed, they say when you go to bed, you should darken your room and have everything off before you go to bed. You're not going to bed to watch someone, you're going to bed to sleep. And you see, when you start to watch things or exercise or do things, now I'm serious about it, people go to a gym and then they go home and go to bed. Everything's flowing.
Do you understand what I'm saying? If you go to gym at 10 o'clock and then try to sleep at 11 o'clock, it won't work. I know what I'm talking about, it won't work.
And you see, if you're watching something and you're trying to, next thing, it's 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock, and next morning you can't get up.
Right.
Now don't blame God. Blame yourself. Throw it out over the hedge for a while. I'm telling you, the phone can be the greatest blessing there is, but also the biggest curse. I call it the tree of knowledge of good and evil. That's what I call it. There's good on it, but there's a lot of bad. I'd say there's probably more bad. And the old preachers blasted the televisions, didn't they preach it hard? William Branham and all them old preachers, and we've all done it in the past, they've blasted the television, but I'll tell you what, the television is nothing on the mobile phone. Nothing on a mobile phone. Your mobile phone has all on it more than you'll ever have in the television. Just one click of the button. You can have anything you want, good or bad. That's the age. See how the devil got in?
But it is good if you're reading your Bible on it,
or a daily reading, or reading a message, then it's good.
So it's a good and evil. But God wants our undivided attention. They can give them their homework full attention. But you see, all through the Bible, the primacy key is hearing, healing from God by hearing Him. But let's look at this. And I want to go through three scriptures. And I'm going to take my time. I'm not worried about the clock. And I won't hold as long. But I'm not going to try and rush to get so much done and all that. I'm not going to do that. If I only get a bit, and it's the bit that you sticks with you, well, that's enough. Let's turn to Mark. Mark. Mark chapter 4, verse 24. Mark chapter 4, verse 24. And He said unto them, take heed what ye hear.
With what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you, and unto you that hear shall more be given. So take heed what you hear. Even as preaching, you can hear somebody and they preach really well, and they're a good speaker, but what are they saying?
That's right.
When you watch some of them people on the internet in them different places that's preaching, and they've massive big audiences, and they're really good speakers, what are they saying? Some of them never preach with the Lord. It's all about themselves. And all about the people. But it's never about the Lord. What are they saying? So we need to be listening. Take heed what you hear. With what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again. So God wants us to be listening and to take heed. Pay attention. Luke chapter 8. It's just your next book. Matthew, Mark, Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8 verse 18. Take heed therefore how ye hear. So he's saying in Mark, take heed what you hear. And he's saying in Luke, take heed how you hear. And you say, what are you talking about? Well, have you ever had somebody relate to your story? And by the time it's told the third time, it's not the same story. How many know what I'm saying? Did you know that even preachers exaggerate? No, I'm a bit honest about it. If you put that in and you look up, William Branham will tell you it as well. They exaggerate numbers and stuff. How many goes to church? About 300. Maybe 100 in it. I was with a fellow one day in the congregation of 40, and when the man asked him, he said he had 90. Now, it didn't matter if there's 40 or 90, but he exaggerated. How many attended your meeting? 200,000, maybe 50 of them. They exaggerated. William Branham said that. You see, let's read this again, verse 18. Take heed therefore how you hear, for whatsoever hath to him shall be given, and whosoever hath not from him shall be taken, even what he seemed to have it. So it's like the talents. When God gives us a talent to multiply and work with, God does not want us to bury it. God wants us to share it. We're to share our testimony. We're to share the gospel. We're to share it. Like there's a fella used to come to our house. Wee stout fella. Great wee lad he was. Naughty was his nickname. We nicknamed him Naughty. How many ever remembers the wee program? And you had Naughty in the toy town. Anybody ever hear of it? Before most of your time. I'm getting older, aren't I? But Naughty, I remember Naughty and the wee car and everything. That was great. But are we naughty? Are we naughty? Could peel an orange in his pocket. And you wouldn't know he was doing it. And then you see his mouth starting to move. He didn't want a shirt. He never shared it. He never ever would share it. He could peel an orange in his pocket and you wouldn't know, because he wouldn't share it. And some people say they're Christians, but you'd never know it. You'd never know it. There's a fellow I know very well. And I'm going to tell you this. I know this fellow really well, and he belongs to a certain organization, and they're staunch for some things. But he's the type of a boy, he likes a good argument about doctrine. But you never know he's saved. A matter of fact, you'll never ever hear him smiling or nothing. And he goes to church, he's like that. Never remove his heart. Never hardly hear him singing or anything. But there's another fella I know, and he says, Tom, I've got you. We thought it'd be nice. We're going to take you to see Northern Ireland play. And I said, that's great. We're going to take you and Daniel to see Northern Ireland play. So he got me a ticket. We went to see Northern Ireland play. I don't know if you've ever seen the photograph, but I was sitting beside this boy, the big. He was from the Czech Republic. They were playing that night, the Czech Republic, whoever that was. But he had this big thing in his hair, and I got a photograph beside him.
But anyhow, this certain Joe Bloggs, we'll call him, right? Nobody will know his name. I spotted him at the match, but he never spotted me. But when they came to singing at the last, he had his two hands up, and he was going like this here, kid. And when they sang Green White Army, Green White Army, he was all over the show. He was giving it all. But the starchiest Christian you'll ever see. But when he went to football, he got the spirit of the match. The spirit of the match, come on now. And the hands and all were up. I told this other fella that knows him, and he couldn't believe it. And he laughed. And yet with all, he's so starchy. You're not allowed to lift your hands in church or do nothing. Sit still. But God wants us to be real. When God gives us something, he wants us to share it. Share your testimony. You might be called to preach a sermon, but you can share your testimony. Tell how you get saved. The fella took me some weeks to go to this couple. This man's got saved, but there's a lot of things need sorting. And before you know it, I was telling him a whole testimony. And his wife, well, she wasn't even his wife, but she got to hear all of it. And the Lord really spoke to them. And you know, she was near in tears. And she said to me, you know, that's powerful. And I told them how I got saved. And I didn't go to do that, but it just happened. Because I'm not ashamed of the Lord. And you can share your testimony. And when somebody says to you, look at that boy there, they're drinking all. You know, I used to do that. But then the Lord got a hold of me. Jesus got me.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And you can share your testimony. Exodus 15. And this is Genesis, Exodus. Exodus chapter 15. Verse 26. Verse 26. And said, if thou wilt diligently hearken. Diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God. And will do that which is right in his sight. Not your own, but in the Lord's sight.
Amen.
And will give ear to his commandments. And keep all the statutes. I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I brought upon the Egyptians. For I am the Lord that healeth thee. I am the Lord.
Amen.
Jesus Christ is the Lord. He's our physician. Medicine that's not in a bottle.
Amen.
Praise God for his medicine. I am the Lord that heals you. I will provide the medicine. I am your physician. You have two ears, the left and the right. If you listen to God with the left ear and listen to something else with the right ear, you'll be confused. What happens is, the preacher can preach and you're hearing it with one ear, but the enemy's never far away, and he can preach it on the other ear. And as soon as he thinks you're getting up, he'll have someone to bring you back down. That's his job. You should rejoice. When you realize that the devil's giving you a tough time, you should break out and throw the thing loose, as they say in America. Break loose. And praise God, because he must be worried about you. The boy that he's not worried about is going to have no trouble at all. The soldiers on the front lines are ones that's getting shot at. The fellows in the back, bullets will never reach them. The front line. Let's go forward for the Lord.
Amen.
And listen to the word of God. Amen.
Amen.
The emphasis is attending to God, listening to God. Faith cometh. We start with the word of God. That's the beginning. The first instruction of God's medicine bottle is, tend to my words. You got that? That's the first instruction. Hear God. When you hear God, don't change it. Don't add to it. Don't take from it. By my stripes, you're healed. Here's the second instruction. Bend your ear. Incline your ear means to bend your ear. A fact of the human body is that you cannot bend your ear without bending your head down. In inclining your ear, you're
your head. What does this express? It is an attitude of indicating humility. You're bending to God. I'm a great believer in kneeling to pray. Now, I wouldn't do it in front of, and if I'm with people, and, you know, bowing their head in front of them at lunch, no, if you want to do that, that's fine, I wouldn't. Because the Bible says, do not your arms before men. I pray a lot. Now, I'm not saying, I don't want to say that you think I'm praying a lot. I don't mean it like that. But because they don't see it, doesn't mean I'm not praying. When I get alone with the Lord, I can pray. And the Bible says, enter into your closet and pray in secret. And he that prayeth in secret, the Lord will reward openly. We don't have to blow a trumpet and say, look, I'm praying. You're doing it to God. You're not doing it to be seen. You're doing it before the Lord. And if you're with somebody at work and they mightn't see things, and if you want to pray, you're taking a stand, that's fine. That's fine if you want to do that. And I know a lot of people, and they even take scriptures and they won't even eat with unbelievers. They say it's not scripture. They're called the exclusive brethren. And I mean that. They will not even eat with the unsaved. And I tell you, that's how they are, and they quote different scriptures and all the rest of it. But we're in this world, but we're not part of it.
Amen.
I believe you can go to extremes. You know, I'll tell you this here. One time, there was a man visited a Catholic home, which was a minister. And the man, being a very religious Catholic, and how many knows a lot of Catholics pray when they take their dinner? They're very serious people. And I told you on Wednesday night, God is not against the people, he's against the system.
Amen.
Not the people. God loves the people.
Amen.
He loves the people. But these people asked this man out of respect, would he pray? And this man prayed a simple prayer. But he prayed to the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
And that prayer was the means of that house being converted to Christ.
Amen.
One prayer.
Amen.
So God can use a prayer. The man said he never heard nobody praying like that. He said the thing that struck him the most about this man when he prayed was he knew, he seemed to know the person he was talking to. He had an experience with the Lord.
Right. Yeah.
William Branham said you might know a scripture real well, but as long as you know the author.
Right.
Let's turn to the book of Psalms. Psalms 103. Near enough the middle of the Bible here. Psalms 103. There actually is something about the Psalms, about the middle and the verse and everything. Psalms 103, verse 3. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagle.
Right.
And if you want a scripture for that, it's Isaiah 40, verse 31. Speaks about the eagle. Your youth is renewed like the eagle. These are the words of God. These are the things God wants to do for his people. Renew your youth.
That's right.
That's real medicine, isn't it?
Amen.
Fellow said to me the other day, he said, you know, they're taking new stuff now. And it's in America, speaking of America, it's coming here, it's everywhere. And they take this and they inject themselves with it every day and it keeps them looking young. Women and everything's taken, it's well known, keeps them looking young. But there has to be a side effect. But here I've got someone in my bottle. And I'm saying that respectfully, you know what I'm saying? I've someone here that's keeping me young. It's the word of God. And Isaiah 40 verse 31. They that wait upon the Lord, that's how it starts. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Waiting upon the Lord is the best thing for you physically. Think of that. How would I prove myself physically waiting on the Lord? You say, brother, are you serious? Absolutely. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not waiting on God. It's good for you. Amen.
I tell you, you know, it's good the way if you've had a background from farming or something like that, the people that worked and stuff, because there's certain things they did. They rose early. They would rise early, and because they did that, they'd go to bed early. And I noticed in Australia when I stayed with Brother Brian, Freeborn over there, Brian goes to bed quite early, but he gets up early. And he spends an hour every morning reading and waiting on the Lord every single day. He says it's habit, it's something he does, but it's good for you. Amen. Amen. And you say, well, I have no time. Make time for God. Make time for God. Because the Lord made time for you and me. We need to make time for God. No matter how busy your schedule is, we do things we like doing. How many knows I'm telling the truth? Whether it's a hobby or fitness, we make time for it. We fit it in our day. No matter how busy the day it is. But we should always fit the Lord in.
Amen.
We should always make time for God. And I tell you, if you're in a relationship, you're married, and you want a successful marriage, you have to have time for each other sometimes. You know that. You have to make time, make commitments, make time. Hard to do it, isn't it? Maybe the wife works, you work, and you don't see much of either, but sometimes it's good just to stop everything and just be with each other. And take a weekend or a day away or something. And it's good for the relationship, isn't it? When then you think of it in the spiritual with the Lord. It's good to have time with the Lord. And we need to make time for the Lord. Get away from your own preconscience, perceptions, and bend your ear to what God says. God's word works only insofar as we receive it. So somebody says, I heard that, but it never worked. That proves they never received it. They heard it, but they didn't really hear it. How many knows what I'm saying? You've ever heard the saying of it over the top of their head? God does not want us shoving it over our heads, but God wants it to go in our hearts so that we actually receive it and hear it and act upon it. Hearing, recognizing, and going into action. That's what God wants us to do. He wants us to hear the word of God. And he wants us to recognize it, to be the word of God. And he wants us to act upon it. Praise God. You go to James chapter 1. James chapter 1, verse 18 to 21. You wouldn't believe it. I just turned that Bible and opened the Spirit of James. James chapter 1, verse 18 to 21. Of his own will begot he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear and slow to speak. Swift to hear and slow to speak and slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay aside all filthiness and superfluity and naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. And I've specified this word naughtiness. We always say to the children, don't be naughty, don't be naughty. Has your mum ever said to you, don't be naughty, your dad? So these are really good boys. When I was wee, I was always naughty. I was naughty. And you had to get a smack sometimes when you're naughty. God's word can heal you, bless you in so many ways, but only if you receive it with meekness. One of the things we have to lay aside is naughtiness. Now listen to me. We usually associate this word with children. A naughty child is one who answers back. You hear me? That's a naughty child. A naughty child is one that answers back. And how many times do we say, God can't do it? We're answering back.
we're not each other. The enemy wants us to question God's word. God has already said, by my stripes are healed. God's already said, if you wait upon the Lord, renew your strength. But the enemy wants you to question that. And he wants you to talk back to God. Not it. How many hear me? Job's wife said to Job, curse God and die. And he said, you're talking like a foolish woman. Job lost his health. He lost his family, sheep, his ox, his ass, his camels. Everything he had, Job lost it. But the Bible says he held his integrity. And he sinned not throughout it. He wasn't naughty. He never answered back to God and said, God can't do it. The devil wants us to cheat God. Wants us to cheat God. He wants us to be naughty children. And answer back to God. God, you didn't do it. That's the wrong attitude. Now, I'm telling you, because God's been dealing with me. I've been serious about it. You say, we'd never have to do it with me. That's all right. But it's just me, then. You know, when William Branham lost his own child, and the different things happen, and then the words come out of him. The Lord give it, the Lord take it away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He never blamed God. Look what he saw later in his life. Are you hearing me? Look what God let him see later on in his life. He prophesied of a young boy lying dead on the road in Finland. He described his dress. And he said, our Lord Jesus will raise him from the dead. And he said, almost two years later, he came on the scene. And he said, brother, read the back fly leaf of your Bible. Is this the scene? What was prophesied. And he says, I believe it is, brother. And he says, I knelt down and our Lord Jesus raised the boy back to life again. Because he never blamed God. But the enemy wants you to blame God. When things go wrong, he wants you to blame God. Why did God not do this? Why did God not do that? My Bible says if we acknowledge the Lord in all our ways, God will direct our path. We must believe that. We can't explain all the whys, but God's doing what he's going to do. We have to just believe God. It's for a reason. Here's the third thought, and I'm closing. Let them not depart from thine eyes. The word them refers to God's word and God's signs. In other words, we must focus our spiritual eyes, or else we will have blurred vision. And I'm closing. God wants to focus our eyes. God doesn't want to give us blurred vision. It's the same if you hear too much different preaching. It's not good. If you go on here and listen to fella here, and listen to fella here, and they're not in agreement, you'll get confused. That's why it must all come back to this book. Amen? God wants us to be clear. He wants us to listen clearly. God does not rush you out so that you'll fall and be a failure. God leads you out. God leads you. The Bible, the song says, God leads his dear children along. When God speaks to you and the enemy speaks in the other ear, you're old enough to know. You are now old enough. Are you? This is a word for somebody in this meeting. I want you to listen carefully. This is instructions I believe God's given me. I want you to listen carefully. When God has spoke to you from his word and someone else comes in the other ear and you're questioning it, you are old enough to know now. Right from wrong. You're old enough to know. You don't have to tell me, you know, if it says 30, and I know because I was caught the other week. 41 in the 30 zone. But I said I thought it was a 40 zone. There was no signs up. Now here's the thing I never knew. How do you know what the zone is you're in if there's no signs? I never knew. Now I know some of you probably know the answer, but I didn't. But I had to go on one of them driving awareness courses. Now, I've done my good, I'll be honest with you. And sometimes you realise you're a bad driver, though you don't think you are. Some of us think we're Schumacher. But, you know, we get habits. But you know one of the things I never knew? Streetlights. As soon as you see streetlights, you automatically get ready to do 30 if you see streetlights. Because 90 times out of 100, you're in a 30 mile an hour zone when you see streetlights. And unless it's stated otherwise, if you see streetlights, do 30. So when you come before the judge, but Your Honor, it didn't say 30 and it didn't say 40. And he says, but was there streetlights? Yes. What's it mean? Built up area. Kill the speed before you kill somebody. So I thought I was in a 40 and I thought I'm 1 mile an hour over. And then he showed us, if you're 1 mile an hour over, how much longer does it take you to stop? 1 mile an hour over. Most people doing 30 miles an hour at the back of a bus. You know a bus, big bus. At the back of a bus, somebody that participates in an accident, hits the brakes at the back of the bus, will still hit the person at the front of the bus across. They'll touch them. Not somebody that participates in. Somebody that doesn't participate in, you're almost at them before you even get your foot in the brake. 1 mile an hour over, I think it was 13 metres or 8 metres of a difference it makes to stop. 1 mile an hour more. Everybody was shocked when they heard that. So when you say I didn't know, God's given us instructions. We have instructions in the Word of God. Now I did my awareness course and didn't get the 3 points, brother. And I tell you, honest truth, it done me good. The speed awareness course done me good because there's lots of things I didn't know. But it's not the same with the Word of God. Sometimes we need to go back to this book and read it again. We can forget what the Lord says. That's why one of these instructions is to have His Word before our eyes. We need to have God's Word before us continually. We forget it. Let's come and pray. Let's stand our feet. Now I told you, I'm going to say this again. I really feel to emphasize this. I'm saying it again. Now just like me or you, you could know there's a speed limit, but you break it. And I'm telling you this morning, you are saying, how can I determine it's God and the enemy? You're old enough to know when it's God and the enemy. God will not speak to you to do something that's contrary to His Word. He won't do it. He won't ask you to do something silly. And the Bible says God won't tell you to do something you can't do. So the next time the enemy comes to talk to you, what's the key? Submit to God. Submit yourself to God. Think of God's medicine bottle. Think of God's Word. Quote the Word of God. Commit your ways to the Lord, and He's promised you the right to pass. Cast down the reasoning. Don't give place to the devil. Heavenly Father, we just thank You and praise You for Your precious words of truth. We know Your Word is a lamp on our feet and a light on our path. Lord, we believe Your Word this morning. Help us to keep Your Word ever before us. Help us to seek You early. Help us to take these instructions on board. Help us to hear it, to recognize it, and to go into action. Father, we can't explain so many things in this life, but the one thing we know is that You're in control. The one thing we know is that You hold the breath we breathe, that all the silver and gold's Yours, and the cattle upon 1,000 hills is the Lord's. And Lord, we can say with the psalmist David, I will look over the hills, but whence comes thank you for the truth of your word. Your word's an absolute, an anchor, a tidepost in the storms and the times of trouble. You promised you'll never leave us. You promised you'll never forsake us. And you said, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Bless every man, every woman, every boy, every girl in this house today. Lord, may your word be a challenge to us. May you help us to seek you more and to serve you closer as we see the coming day approaching, the soon return of our Lord Jesus Christ. Help us, I pray. Father, bless everyone here. May bless the musicians, bless the deacons, the elders, the song leaders. Bless the children that said the verses. Bless all the parents, mothers and fathers. Lord, and all our loved ones at home that still not saved, help us to live a life that's pleasing to you, but you might reach others. Save wives, save husbands, save sons and daughters, we pray. Lord, help us never to be satisfied with the attitude it'll not matter, but help us to have an attitude to reach others.
Amen.
For Lord, you said he that wins souls is wise. Help us to be wise men and women.
Amen.
Grant us your wisdom and grant us your guidance. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Father, part of your blessing. Bless the service tonight. As my dad comes tonight to preach and the people come to hear, may you bless the meeting and may you have your way with every one of us. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Amen. God bless each and every one. God bless you to the brother Gary.
Anyone else wants prayer, brothers?